Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sunup. The Daily Sunup podcast is a conversation with the Colorado Sun. See our trust indicators at coloradosun.com/ethics. It's Monday, June 17th. Today, Sun Outdoors reporter Jason Blevins has an update from a contentious community meeting about possibly adding another national monument on the western slope around the Dolores River. Before we begin, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Pinnacle Assurance, Colorado's leading provider of workers' compensation insurance. Pinnacle provides caring protection that Colorado businesses can rely on as they expand across the country. From finance to robotics and Arizona to Orlando, Pinnacle's nationwide coverage goes wherever Colorado businesses grow. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. George Griffith arrived in the Pikes Peak region of Colorado in 1859, hoping to find gold. After limited success in Clear Creek, he struck gold in Georgetown on June 17th. Originally from Kentucky, Griffith had mined in California before joining his family in Iowa. Drawn by gold rumors, he joined a party heading to Pikes Peak. His 1859 placer strike yielded little profit, but a lode discovery in 1861 revived the camp. Griffith and his brothers helped establish community laws, built a road, and imported a stamp mill. After a mining downturn in 1864, silver was discovered, transforming Georgetown into Colorado's first silver boom town, sparking a prosperous three-decade era. Before we continue, the Colorado Sun is partnering with multiple news outlets across the state to understand what is driving Coloradans this election year. What issues do you care about most as we head into the 2024 election? Let us know by filling out our survey at coloradosun.com/votervoices. Now our feature story.
Hey, thanks for listening today, everyone. I'm David Krause, an editor here at The Sun, and it's another Monday session of our podcast with my good friend and outdoors reporter, Jason Blevins. What's going on in your world today, Jason Blevins?
Working hard, DK.
Good to hear. Good answer. Hey, let's just jump right into the possibility of a national monument coming to another part of the Western Slope. Jason, you went down to a community meeting recently. Somewhat spicy, it sounds like. But Jason, talk about the idea of and some of the pushback that we're seeing for a national monument in parts of what Mesa and Montrose counties around the Dolores River.
Exactly. About a year old, a group of conservation, advocates have proposed our 400,000 acre national monument around the Dolores River in Mesa, Montrose counties, as it rolls north there to the Utah border where it joins the Colorado River. Sort of a beleaguered river. It's been efforts date back 50 years for some sort of increased conservation around that that river as it rolls through the west end of Montrose County and the Dolores River canyons and Ponderosa Forest. Beautiful river, remote canyons. Advocates say that national monument designation would help to protect and better manage some of the crowds and protect some of the natural resources out there. It is passionately opposed by some folks out there in those counties who are fearful that a monument designation would limit agriculture, possibly curtail future mining in the mineral-rich Uravan mineral belt. Lots of historic uranium mining out there as the country ramps up calls for increased uranium production to fuel nuclear power. The west end of Montrose County would most certainly play a role in that, and there's fear that a designation might limit economic opportunities out there, as well as maybe pinch grazing rights, maybe hurt water rights. A lot of sort of concerns out there. Advocates say that's not necessarily going to happen, but Senator Bennett, Michael Bennett, went out there and spent several days meeting with stakeholders, touring. Did some aerial flights over the region. It was really an interesting meeting that he had. 500 plus people in the new pre-K to 12 grade 12 school there in Nucla. beautiful new building, and 500 plus people showed up there, and it was a very contentious and impassioned. Lots of people really expressing a lot of concerns out there. The opponents are a vocal lot, and they outnumbered the supporters in this meeting, and Senator Bennett was right in the middle of them, you know, sort of giving everybody their 3 minutes, and he got an earful, that's for sure.
Jason, you wrote in the story, and let's kind of expand on this. You hit on it a little bit, but, you know, this issue, it goes beyond a national monument, right? I think Bennett talked about it, but what's the feeling there, you know, beyond people feeling like, you know, they're getting a national monument kind of forced upon them?
Yeah, you know, and I think this was really evidenced in the, you know, 40 to 50 folks who spoke at this meeting. You know, it is bigger than a national monument out there. This is, you know, exemplifies the controversy around this national monument, really exemplifies some of the angst over what we are calling the urban and rural divide, which is very evident in Colorado, where rural communities feel that agriculture is being threatened, as you know, and traditional extractive uses are being threatened, as urban sentiments around, say, wolves and water and conservation are imposed on these rural communities without maybe their voice heard over and over. We're not being heard. Our voices are not heard. And they, you know, many rural communities across really the West feel as though, you know, urban voters are kind of drowning out their voices and their traditional ways of life. And this is a very real issue that we've seen with wolves and water and conservation efforts, really, and the growth of outdoor recreation in a lot of these rural communities that have long relied on, say, you know, energy development and mining and, you know, agriculture and these, you know, industries that date back centuries or a century. So it's, you know, it's really what we've seen is this, you know, kind of this growing urban rural divide and rural communities feeling as though their voice is being lost in the fray. And I think that's a large part of what Senator Bennett heard out there, you know, in these deep seated challenges in this urban rural divide. And, you know, I got a couple minutes with Senator Bennett, sat down, and he was saying that, you know, he's starting to see more and more of this. You know, he was involved in Chimney Rock. He was involved in Browns Canyon and creating these national monuments, Camp Hale, most recently. And it's interesting to see what has changed. Why is this so controversial, whereas Chimney Rock and Browns Canyon and really Camp Hale wasn't necessarily, you know, this really impassioned issue. And Senator Bennett says it's the role of social media has become, he called it, quote, a poison in our civic discourse, where, you know, these national, really divisive national political issues are trickling all the way down to local issues. And they're sort of, you know, shadowing these kind of valid local concerns with, you know, national kind of, you know, globalist issues that you're seeing, you know, in our national politics. And I think that's something that he said he wanted to really address. And, you know, looking at the disparity between the rural urban divide, these urban communities and the rural communities kind of struggling to, you know, catch up economically. And, you know, he saw it as a problem in sort of civic debate and discussion. And he identified it as something that he's grappling with there on the ground at Dolores as he sort of met with stakeholders who were very pointed in their criticisms of this national monument proposal.
Jason, did you get a gauge on where Senator Bennett stands on this particular issue, given that he was, as you pointed out, a big proponent of using the Antiquities Act to help get these other national monuments in the state?
Yeah, so, you know, he's going on 5-6 years now working for his Colorado Outdoor Recreation Economy Act, the CORE Act, and it keeps getting stalled in Congress, and it's, you know, piecemeal. He's worked with President Biden to take pieces of that CORE Act, for example, and remove oil and gas and mining activity from the Thompson Divide and protect the Continental Divide area as well as Camp Hale. Those are both parts of the CORE Act that President Biden has moved through executive action and for protection. One thing that he heard over and over out there on the West End in NUCLA was, we don't want to be the next MOAB. We've all heard recent, past 4 or 5 years, stories of MOAB just being kind of overrun with tourists. Visitation up there is close to 3 million. Timed entry at the Arches National Park there, very busy national park, very busy area. And in MOAB, they've kind of let a lack of regulation, a lot of lack of regulation over the years. You're allowed to pretty much camp where you want, and that maybe has fueled the issues on the ground out there with crowding. Most recently the BLM has removed a couple few hundred miles of motorized trails from motorized access, and that is obviously a concern. And so we kept hearing over and over at these meetings, we don't want to be the next MOAB. We don't want to see a loss of motorized access. We don't want to see these, stricter regulations and things like that, and overcrowding issues. And the only indication that Senator Bennett had that this was a listening session, so he didn't necessarily reveal his position, but as a longtime stalwart of conserving and protecting public lands and increasing those protections on public lands, he did say that he does not want the place to become MOAB. He would never support a national monument that infringed upon grazing rights or took away people's water rights. But then he also said, if we don't do anything out there on the West End and add more protections to the Dolores River, he sees it more likely that the issues in MOAB would arrive over there. The crowds are coming, and it's seems like it's without any kind of increased management or increased regulation and protections around the Dolores River. Maybe, he said that we run the risk of maybe it looking more like MOAB. So that's kind of the only indication he gave. But it's he stood in the middle of this big rowdy room with people who were probably never going to vote for him, staunchly Republican over there on the west end of Montrose County. But he stood up there and took his lumps, and as he likes to do, he's very big on building consensus. And I think he was hoping that they could find a way to bring mining interests and agriculture interests and conservation interests to the table and see if there was common ground. And that's kind of what the future is going to look like as this goes forward. It's highly unlikely that President Joe Biden would do anything on a national monument without the support of Senator Bennett and Hickenlooper, the two, U.S. senators for representing Colorado. So I'd imagine that Senator Bennett will play a role in whatever kind of shapes around the Dolores River. Obviously, he's got some legislation called the National Conservation Area, establishing a national conservation area around the lower part of the Dolores River, which is really lower, I'd say, southern end, as it rolls through San Miguel County, Montezuma County, and Dolores County out of McPhee Reservoir. So he's working on some sort of protection, and I think this meeting was one of the first steps in trying to find some consensus and common ground to create some form of additional protections around the Dolores River there in Mesa and Montrose counties.
Jason, real quick, we always like to spin forward on these topics. Any idea, we know the cogs in the government machine always moves incredibly slow and meticulous, I guess some would say. Any thoughts on what's next, when we might hear some more conversation on this?
Well, I would imagine that, Senator Bennett will start maybe taking some positions and maybe doing something. The frustration with getting anything through our Congress, federal Congress, 6+ years with trying on the CORE Act, and he's chipping away at it with executive presidential actions. And the Antiquities Act is a 1906 law. It's presidents have used it to create 163 monuments, you know, around Colorado. So many of them in Colorado. So 163 across the country. So it would be the Antiquities Act is kind of where this would end up, and it would take presidential action. And again, we'd have to wait for, you know, Senators Hickenlooper and Senators Bennett to maybe take a position on the on this proposal and maybe work out a specific plan before that Antiquities Act action. So we're not anywhere close. It's highly unlikely anything's going to happen soon. But if it does happen, it would probably come through the form of a executive action in that 1906 Antiquities Act.
Jason, always good stuff. Always good to catch up with you. Appreciate you getting all the way out to the western, all the way west on the western slope and heading out to that community meeting. I know you spent a lot of time out in that area, so always good to get your perspective on it. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. If you haven't already, you can check out Jason's story at coloradosun.com. And if you like us a lot and you're listening to us every day, take a second and give us a five-star review on your favorite podcast platforming device. We always appreciate that kind of love. Jason Blevins, buddy, make it a great week.
Thanks, DK.
Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. A little-known history at Colorado's Camp Hale is coming to light after a recent ceremony at the former army base. When Tibet was invaded by China in 1949, a number of Tibetans were flown to the camp near Leadville to train with the CIA to fight the Chinese invasion. In this week's Colorado Sunday feature, reporter Tracy Ross explores how the camp was used after World War II and how hundreds of people, including a number of monks, went to the National Monument recently to honor the Tibetans who trained there. Inflation in Denver is coming down. In May, the Denver inflation slowed to 2.6%, which is lower than the U.S. rate of 3.3% last month. Both rates are compared to 12 months prior. The Denver region has been experiencing lower consumer price increases than the rest of the nation since March. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor, prices were still up slightly, and the biggest culprit was energy, which was up 1.9% due to the increase in the price of electricity. U.S. Representative Lauren Boebert is vastly outraising her five Republican opponents in the 4th Congressional District as the June 25th primary nears. According to the most recent Federal Election Commission reports, the $334,000 Boebert raised from April 1st to June 5th eclipses the $178,000 combined brought in by her five GOP competitors this year. The reports are another indication that Boebert is likely to dominate on June 25th. The outcome of the 4th District primary will likely determine who wins in November, given how favorably the district leans Republican. For more information on all of these stories, visit our website, coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again next time. Now, a quick message from our team.
I'm Lauren Wynot, Director of Membership at the Colorado Sun. I came to work at the Sun because quality, trustworthy journalism is important. As a reader and listener, I find the Sun to be a breath of fresh air. The journalists tell Colorado stories that keep me informed, entertained, and engaged. If you also trust the Sun for your news, join me as a member at coloradosun.com/join. Your support helps to bring you and other Coloradans the news you deserve. We couldn't do it without you. Thank you.